Well, good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Marie Hobbs. I'm part of the leadership team here at Encounter. And if you've been joining us over the last few weeks, you will know that we're in the middle of a series called Life, where we are essentially looking at our relationship with God and what it is that we want. This series looks at our desires, our longings, our hopes, and the fact that these become the core of our identity. So we need those aligned with God. Now, today we're going to specifically look at the whole idea of our desire for prayer and what that looks like. We want to look at how we communicate with God, and as we communicate, how that changes our priorities, our views, and our hopes. Well, do you know, when I started preparing for this talk, Pete Gregg from 24/7 Prayer Movement had just launched a new book for young people called How to Pray, A Guide to Young Explorers. He's done kind of like a, you know, adult books on prayer, but this was for young people. So I thought, oh, I'll order one of those, and for Chloe, my daughter. But when it arrived, I thought, oh, I'll just have a quick read of some of this. But it was so good, I like read the whole book. And I just want to acknowledge at the start of this talk how that book has really influenced a lot of what I'm going to say today. Pete actually divides down praying into four key areas. And I'm going to use that as the structure for my talk today. And if you would like to know more about prayer, then I would recommend any of the Pete Gregg books to you. The first thing to say is it is really true that as we communicate with God, so often we are changed both on the inside and we are changed outwardly as well. So God does a work in us, but also as we pray, things change outwardly in the world. But where do we begin? What do we do when we pray? Now, let's be honest about this. There's no one set way to pray. And everybody likes to pray in different styles and ways and use different formulas, different words. And that's absolutely fine. The main thing is that we do pray. God wants us to communicate with Him. Now, in the Bible, we really see in Luke 11 and Matthew 6, Jesus tells us how we should pray. And whilst there are different versions of this and different translations, I want to read today from the NIV the way Jesus tells us to pray, and that is through the Lord's Prayer. So let me just read that to you as we focus today on this whole idea of our desire for prayer. It says this in Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Wow, what amazing words guiding us on prayer. Now, Pete Gregg in his book simply defines prayer as a two-way conversation with the living God who loves and listens to the things we say. How amazing is that? That the God of the whole universe wants, who loves us, wants to also listen to us. He wants to be with us and he wants us to communicate with Him. The truth is we can pray any way we like, in any place we like. The main thing, as I said earlier, is that we do actually pray and get connected to God. Pete also says in his book that the best piece of advice he's ever been given about prayer is this: keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up. And I really like that. I like that idea. Keep it simple. We don't need special words. We don't need special ways of praying. We just simply need to pray. I guess the question today is, are you praying? Am I praying? So keep it simple. Second point of that was keep it real. You don't need to be on your best behavior for God. God knows everything about you. He knows what's going on in your head. He knows what's going on in your heart. And nothing will surprise him. Nothing will shock him. So don't feel like you have to be on your best behavior, saying the things that you think he wants to hear you say. Keep it real. The Psalms, they're just full, aren't they, of people just talking about the highs and the lows of life and telling God how they feel. I think that's a key element when we pray. Keep it real. And then keep it up. That's a challenge, isn't it? I think it's much better just to pray for a few minutes a day than to say you're going to pray for an hour and then keep that up for 3 days and then give up for 3 months. Consistent prayer, even if it's a small amount, is vital for making sure that our connection with God is continuing. So as he says, his best advice, keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up. Keeping it up is always a challenge, but we read in Luke 18 of the parable of the persistent widow, and she just kept on coming to God, and she prayed and she did not give up. And I believe that God is challenging us today. There may be things that we've been praying for a while and we haven't seen something change yet. God's encouraging us, keep on praying, keep on communicating with God, keep on responding to him and listening to what he wants to say to us. So as I said, there's so many different ways of praying, and I don't want to really put it into a formula as such, but in Pete Gray's book, he does have these helpful four areas to the word pray. So the first area he talks about, if we look at the letter P in pray, he talks about pause. Being still, slowing down before God. I love the Psalm. Psalm 46 verse 10 in the NIV says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." You know, essentially this whole idea of slowing down, I'll be honest, I find it difficult to be still, to put down my shopping list of requests to God and just be still before him, to align myself with him and then to hear what he's saying to me. Recently, I signed up for an online course, and some of it is Zoom lectures and some of it's videos to watch. Anyway, we have homework each week, and basically, I was given a piece of homework, and the homework was this, that I was to sit for 5 minutes at the start of my prayer time in complete silence, and I was just to reflect on how I felt and what was going on in my body. And I have to be honest, when I started it, I felt so uncomfortable because I'm a Pentecostal at heart. I'm used to just, starting to pray, and being quiet was quite a challenge for me. But as I sat there, first of all, I was really distracted because the neighbours were playing some music in the garden. And then as I tuned out to that, I suddenly became aware of how tight my chest was and my breathing. And I thought, gosh, wow, my breathing's quite fast. And just slowly my breathing started to slow down. And then I sort of became aware of all these thoughts whirling around in my head. And I just was trying to let those come and then go and then just keep focusing on God. But as the minutes rolled on, my body started to relax. I started to tune into God and how great he is and how big he is. And then I really felt his presence. And then I found him starting to speak to me. And that was all before I had uttered a single sound. So I've been trying to implement this more in my own personal life, this whole idea of pausing, being still, waiting on God and just seeing what He wants to say, rather than just being distracted by my list of things to do and all the noise in my heart and everything around me. Now, as I said, there are so many different ways of praying and so many different traditions of prayer, and it's likely that I'm always going to be on the noisier side of the spectrum. But I'm learning to just take some time to slow down, to reflect on God, His power, His presence, His peace. How about you? Do you pause when you pray? Now, when I started preparing this talk, I randomly watched a video on Facebook, actually, of the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he featured two monks from Merfield Abbey, and they were sharing a reflection on the theme of silence in prayer. It's just a couple of minutes long, but as something slightly different, I thought it would be interesting for us just to watch that together and think about this whole idea of the noise of our souls and the whole idea of pausing in prayer. So let's just watch that together now.
One of the odd things about prayer and Christian life is it seems to go backwards. After 40 years of it, I find that I seem to know far less about prayer than I did when I started and thought I knew everything. Prayer is not a matter of learning a foreign language. You know, if you're learning French, you learn a few phrases, you learn some grammar, you start speaking it, you speak it badly. With a bit of luck, you speak it better, and in the end, you become fluent, and everyone says, wow, you speak French so beautifully. In prayer, you tend to start talking quite a lot, and then you find that actually it's more about listening. It's more about letting God take over. So prayer isn't something that I drive myself. I'm not in the driving seat. Ideally, prayer is letting God do it, and I'm listening and responding to that. And if God wants me to sit there and be quiet, well, that's fine. I'm coming to a point when I think that the most important thing I can do when I've finished my prayer in the morning is to remember to listen to my brethren during the day, because we're not good at listening. We hear words, but we don't listen deeply. And that skill of listening to your brethren opens your mind to listening to what God is wanting to say.
One of the things that we do find when we try to keep silence is how much internal noise we actually have. And for a lot of people, that is the end of the experience, is that we think that we want to keep silence, and yet we're so buffeted by distractions, difficult, obsessive thoughts, that we immediately think this isn't how it's supposed to be and give it up. But one of the things that the monastic tradition teaches us is to attend to those thoughts, to learn something of their nature, in order that we might understand how they drive so much of our life beyond our prayer. But there's also a recognition that those thoughts will always be present, that they're almost like the weather of the soul, of the mind. So it's possible for us to recognize them, acknowledge them, accept them, and yet still allow them not to dominate us. And that really is the goal of that part of our prayer, in order that we may still have functioning minds, still have thoughts, still have lives outside of prayer, but be able to turn our attention to God in our prayer. One of the ways of understanding what prayer is simply letting that desire for God come to the surface of our hearts and minds, letting it express itself in us. What I would advise people is to make a certain amount of time in your day for prayer, however it feels, however inadequate you might think your praying is, and stick to it, because it is through that faithfulness, through sticking to that practice, that the real deep fruits of a life of prayer come.
What a challenge to slow down, to pause, to deal with the inner noise in our hearts and minds. I like that thought that said that the noise in our heads is like the weather of the soul. We can acknowledge it, we can reflect on it, and then we can allow our souls to long for God. Be still and know that I am God. Pete Gregg also uses an illustration on this whole theme of a snow globe. I don't know if any of you've got snow globes. We've got a lovely one for Christmas. And you shake the snow globe and all the snow's buzzing around in the globe. And then it slowly starts just to settle down. And he said sometimes that's like our minds and our hearts as we come to prayer. And he suggests maybe the best way to start praying is actually to stop praying. By that he means stop the noise and just let the snow of our hearts settle and allow God to speak into the noise of our hearts, the worries of our hearts, the fears of our hearts, and hear the voice of God saying, "Be still." Now, the next thing I want to look at is in the word pray is the letter R. And he, Greg, suggests that this stands for rejoice. He said it's really important in our communications and our prayer time with God that we should rejoice in God. We should worship God, celebrate him and adore him. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, it says this: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. It's not always easy to rejoice always, is it? You know, we much prefer to just get on with our shopping list of requests to God. But instead, we are to fix our eyes on him. We are to rejoice in him, to celebrate him, to worship him. And our focus moves from us to him. Our eyes go from being down to looking up at him, so to speak. And then we are reminded of how big and powerful and wonderful God is. Now, you may not always feel like rejoicing. I don't. But I find that once I start speaking out some of the goodness of God, my feelings start to come in line with God's will for me. And I start to see a shift as I focus on God and his truth. And I worship him and I adore him. You know, there'll be days that it's so difficult that you really find it hard to rejoice in God. And on those days, I just get out the Psalms and I just start reading them out loud until I get to that place where I know, yes, God, you are good. You are great. You are kind. It's interesting that the Lord's Prayer actually starts with worship and it ends in worship. And in the middle, there's a whole load of kind of requests. So let's remember that our prayer time is not just requests, it's pausing and then it's rejoicing in God. The third letter in the word pray is A. And Pete Gregg suggests that we could use this letter for the word ask. Bring your requests to God. Philippians 4, verse 4 says this: rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. Bring your petitions to God. This is what we are encouraged to do. Petition is when we basically pray for ourselves and we ask God to meet our needs. We can come to him, can't we, with the little things. We can come to him with the big requests. And God is interested in all of it. He's interested in every area of our lives. In the Lord's Prayer, we're encouraged, aren't we? Give us today our daily bread. And then it goes on in the Lord's Prayer to say, your kingdom come. So as Pete Gregg would say, we go from asking about the ordinary, our daily bread, to the extraordinary when we say, your kingdom come. God wants relationship. He really does. Above everything else, not what you do. He wants to communicate with you and he wants you to communicate with him. And sometimes we pray and our prayers are answered straight away. Sometimes we pray and our prayers are not answered. Sometimes we pray and miracles happen immediately. God wants us just to keep coming to him and keep communicating with him. We can tell him we're disappointed when things don't go the way we think they should. We can praise him when he works something that is so out of our own control and something that we could not do by ourselves. The main thing is that we keep talking to him and we allow him to talk to us. But don't be afraid to ask. God wants to know what's on your heart. He wants to know what you need. He's happy when he hears from you. So that's petition when we bring our requests to him. But then there's also intercession, which is when we ask on someone else's behalf, when we pray for others. I always remember one of our friends and pastor, Tim Grew, saying, don't let your world be so small that you just pray for yourselves. And I remember hearing that phrase. I don't remember much else about that particular sermon, but it's always struck with me. Marie, don't let your world be so small that it's all just about praying for you, for my family. No, bring those requests, bring those petitions to God, but then let my world be bigger. Let God put people on my heart, locally, in the country, in the world. Let my request become before God for others as well, as we pray, thy kingdom come. And the fourth section that Pete Gregg talks about, the why in the word pray, he calls this the yes to God, yes to your presence, yes to your power, yes to your ways here on earth. And we're reminded, aren't we, in Matthew 6, 9, in the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not our will, but your will be done on earth. And Jesus himself, before his death, he prayed, not my will, but yours be done, Father God. It's in Luke 22:42. I guess another question for us today is there the yes to God in our lives? Are we wanting his will above all things? So we've heard these four areas, and they're not exhaustive, are they? But maybe a helpful structure to review our prayer life. Think, are we pausing? Are we rejoicing? Are we asking? And are we saying, yes, God, your will, not mine? So let's reflect on that today. Now, I started my talk by telling you about that exercise I did around pausing on my online course. But I also had another exercise that I was encouraged to do, and that was to try out a thing called the Exium Prayer. Some of you may be familiar with that. It's another structure for praying. And I just wanted in these last few minutes just to have a little look at that as well. It's a different guide for prayer. And again, it's based on the Lord's Prayer. It's really four R's. The first one is replay. Replay encourages us as we come to God to replay our day in our minds and ask ourselves, where was God in the various parts of the day? The good, the bad, the ugly. Where was God? Second R is to rejoice, to think about all the ways that God has blessed us that day. And that's just wonderful when you stop and actually take time to rejoice in what God has done for you that day. There's something about a thankful, rejoicing heart. It's good for the soul. And so make sure rejoicing is an everyday part of your prayer life. The third R in the Exium Prayer is that of repenting, of turning around and choosing to live a different way. And as we pause and think about our days and think about what's gone well, what hasn't gone so well, when we're still and we think about the attitudes of our hearts, the things that people maybe can't see that we've had in our minds and our hearts, maybe the outward actions that we regret doing, and we bring those things to God and we say, God, I'm bringing these to you. I'm giving them to you. Please cleanse me. Forgive me. Make me white as snow. And then the fourth R in the Exium Prayer is that to reboot. Just like a computer reboots, we can have a fresh start and we can go into the next day, the next part of the day, with a clean sheet before God. So we replay the day, we rejoice in what God has done. We repent of the ways that we have maybe gone wrong in our hearts, our minds, our actions. And then we come to God and we say, God, I'm bringing it all to you. And then we wait and we listen to what he has to say. So we've looked at this morning, haven't we, at two different kind of like structures to help us with our prayer life. And as I said, you don't need to use those specific structures. You don't have to pray in a certain way. The most important thing is that we do actually pray. So as we go into this next week, let me encourage you to just have a little review of what's going on in your life and think about the different elements of prayer, pausing, rejoicing, asking, the yes, and then the replay, the rejoice, the repent, the reboot, and ask God to meet with you as you communicate with him. And let prayer become a passion in our lives that becomes the center of who we are and what we want. Amen. Let me just pray for you this morning, or whenever you're listening to this recording. Father God, we want to know you more. Help us to slow everything down, to pause. Help us, Lord, to rejoice. Help us to ask and help us to say yes to you. And as we wait on you, now we ask that you would speak to us, that you would communicate with us, that it wouldn't be a one-way conversation, us to you, but that you, Almighty God, would speak to us as well. In Jesus' name we pray.